I want to hold up some of these verses that we've heard today a few times throughout this morning's message. Because Paul is saying this is what is true no matter what, and then he essentially unpacks for us, well, then what is our reaction as a community of Christians, as individuals? And so these words we have heard, but let our hearts be before them once again. Therefore, God exalted to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The place where our most significant connection often happens between pastor and congregation comes Sunday after Sunday, and I've diligently put my heart before the Lord in seeking what He would like us to hear, which directions we should be moving, what challenges we should address, and which victories we should celebrate. We have been together in this holy space, and when I have listened and communicated well, and your heart has experienced the touch of the Spirit in a fresh way, we celebrate that. And so in those spaces and in those ways in which your heart has grown to more deeply know Christ Jesus as Lord, I'm grateful that God would use someone like me to help others in such a way. Yet for any good that has resulted in the time that we have spent together, I point to the fact that Jesus is Lord and give God the Father the glory for what He has done in us and through us during this time. We have also been together on those Sunday mornings, and things did not quite come together as they seemed to be during the week. And there were sermons that were either unclear or too long or didn't say much. For this and other ways that my leadership has distracted or missed the point or caused you to stumble, I repent to our God and I ask for your forgiveness. But here's what I want us to walk away with today, and hopefully hold to as the center point of our faith, that Jesus is Lord no matter what. Jesus has walked with us regardless of anything your pastor has or has not done. We are Bergen United Methodist, and we belong to Jesus. This is God's church, and Jesus is Lord. And so again, let us hear the words of life. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I think some pastors are born knowing they are supposed to be pastors. I'm not even sure I knew that pastors existed for the first handful of years that I walked this earth. But if we are going to take serious the truth that Jesus is Lord, we are going to end up in places far more scary, way more exciting, and in much too far over our head than if we were leading our lives on our own. And that has been my story that has brought me to where I am with you today. I've not plotted the course of my life and then, all right, said, God, you're coming along with me no matter what. I've said yes to Jesus. Yes, you are Lord, and He has led me to places and tasks that I would have never imagined or picked for myself. And I'm ever more learning what it means to walk in joy in those places where Jesus leads. I started my first Sunday with you. Kudos if you remember what I talked about that day. But I started with my testimony, so you can pretend that you've never heard it before, or the pieces that I've sprinkled in over time, that's all right. We had moved 11 times by time I was 10, and when we finally settled in the town of Greece, for the next 8 years of my life that brought me through graduation. Jesus was Lord as we settled into that house in a way that nobody in my family had any idea. The hand of God put my family in a house that backed up to Aldersgate United Methodist Church. And despite the thought and the conversation that we had about how we would become a church family, our family attended very little together in the years that followed. I, however, would wake up on Sunday morning and not have some burning desire to know more about God, but I was bored and knew there was something going on over there on the other side of the parking lot. And so I would go and attend Sunday school. I don't remember a lot about those lessons. I can picture some of the flannel boards and the guys in the dresses that they would put up, but I don't know that I heard a whole lot necessarily. But I made a connection, and I knew that it was a place where I was loved and I was welcomed. And in addition to Sunday school, Aldersgate also, instead of VBS in the summer, we went together to Camp Asbury, and we essentially did our vacation Bible school as a week of camp together. And as I grew into middle school, we moved a couple miles away from the church, but I was still connected. So it was youth group and retreats that were still a part of my life. Jesus was pulling me closer, and yet the forces of evil wanted to tighten their grip on my life as well. I believe both Jesus and the devil knew that there was a call on my life, that God had a plan that was bigger than anything I could imagine, and I was being pulled in both directions. So during those formative years of 6th, 7th, 8th grade, my parents are in the process of growing further apart and eventually divorcing. I'm making destructive choices, growing in my ability to be a jerk, getting in fights, even suspended in a couple times. It was fun, by the way, to do the wedding for a former administrator of that school and realizing as the pastor stood up there that maybe one of the vice principals who suspended me was in attendance, but if they were, they didn't remember. Or they didn't say to me anyways. But Jesus is Lord, and he wasn't giving up on me. It was in the midst of that mess that he was still taking shots at the heart of that kid. And so early in that eighth grade year, that was in so many ways just utter turmoil, I ended up at a Christian concert, and I invited Jesus into my heart that night. The battle wasn't over. I was still in the midst of being a jerk and getting in fights, and that was the year that I found myself invited to not be at school on certain days. But I had now opened my heart to the truth that Jesus is Lord. And I sensed that there was a call that was leading me to something more. But such change, taking serious that Jesus is Lord, will always lead to conflict. We want what we want. We get so tied to where we are. Our own human will is strong. These are the type of things, whether you're an eighth grade jerk or a fully grown adult, that fight against so often what Jesus is looking to do. If we live his way as individuals and as a church, so let us not forget these words of truth. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I had done this spiritual work in my life of bowing to this Jesus. I had acknowledged with my tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord, But few other things in my life looked that way, so the battle raged. Because almost nothing in my life was lining up with that truth, that Jesus is Lord. And by the end of that year, I was fed up with the conflict and the destruction. And I was uttering thoughts that I just thought was my own discontent, but what I know now as prayer. I wanted something different. I wanted positive change in my life. I wanted to leave the path of destruction and head in healthier and more life-giving places. And this is what we've heard Paul talk about here in Philippians 2. He tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. And so I found myself at a church-related camp that summer. And it was in that week where a switch was flipped for me, although it wasn't overnight. But my heart was ever more breaking open to the truth that Jesus is Lord. So I was a week or so away from starting high school, and I made the commitment to start reading my Bible every day. Verse 16, in what we've heard today, Paul encourages the Philippians to hold fast to the word of life as one of the keys to living out how Jesus is Lord in the working out of our salvation. But it wasn't just in reading the Bible every day that I was changed. I was reading the Gospels at that time. So without knowing it at first, I had found the key to heart change as I read the Scriptures in those days. I wasn't just looking for knowledge. I wasn't just looking to learn Bible stories, but I was looking to know Jesus. But it somehow wasn't enough to know Jesus. So I also started to say that as I came across things that suggested that I live in a different way, I wanted to make that change. But if Jesus is Lord, you might remember what I said, that we will be led to places and called to things that are way over our heads, and there will be change in the midst of that. So I indeed was holding fast to the word of life, reading the Scriptures every day, getting to know more about Jesus, but there was a final key that needed to fall into place, and this is when God's truth of Him being Lord really began to change my life. I began to go to Jesus and ask Him for His help to live out what it was that I was reading. Being connected to a church, reading the Bible every day, and putting my heart before Jesus and asking Him for the help to live and to grow into those things. That was when Jesus truly began to be Lord, and my life has been changed forever. So we think about our lives and our testimony of what God is doing today. It can be unnerving to have your pastor move and to have a new one come in. I understand that, not only from my life as a disciple, as a member of a church, but my life's a little unsettled now as well during this time as we walk. But what are some truths that don't change when we find ourselves nervous about what God is working in new things and it seems like everything is different? We need to know what doesn't change. So this truth that Jesus is Lord, that doesn't change. The truth that this is God's church, not your pastor's, that doesn't change. No matter what changes in your life or in this world may ever come, it will always be true that Jesus is Lord. No matter how good or inept your pastor may be, Jesus will always be Lord. And so, sure, it matters who the pastor of your church is, but far more important are disciples who have also made this decision to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. And so what does that look like? Well, I hope the testimony of my life shows you what that could or does look like in your own. Be part of a Christian community, of God's church. 2, hold fast to the word of life. Don't just pay attention to God and Scripture on Sunday morning or in your small group, but put your heart before the Lord in Scripture daily. But being part of a church and even reading Scripture every day won't get you all the way there. The third piece is to seek the Lord in prayer. Ask for help. Recommit to trust. Ask forgiveness. Move forward by the power of the Spirit. The truth that Jesus is Lord does not change. But the issue before each of us is, will that change us? Until Jesus returns and all things are set right, Jesus is looking to renew us day by day. I've asked us before, we all know that we are not perfect, that God's not done with us yet. And so if we are not perfect as we are, guess what's going to have to happen if we're going to get there? We're going to have to change. Change is hard. But Jesus is Lord, and He is looking to help us to be part of a community that will grow in His kingdom. If you're not open to change, then be honest with God and tell Him that Jesus ain't your Lord. Jesus is making all things new, and that will touch the deepest parts of who each of us are. And it's hard for Jesus to make all things new if those who are His followers aren't open for change. It's been a privilege and an honor to seek Jesus as Lord these past 5 years with you. For the ways that I've stood in the way of that again, I seek your mercy and forgiveness from both you and the Lord. For the ways that I've contributed to the work of the Holy Spirit and what He is doing in your heart, and to help you know what it means that Jesus is Lord for both you as an individual and for this God's church. I give thanks that God did not give up on that middle school kid who was such a mess. I give thanks that God does not give up on this man who is still such a mess. And I give glory to our Heavenly Father for not giving up on me or you ever. Jesus is Lord. That truth does not change. Jesus is Lord. Will that be true in your heart? Will you let that be true for your church? Let us pray. Lord God, not only do you intimately know this world and each of us in it, but you are the Creator. So you are in all, and you know all. Lord, you knew in creating us that we would want to go our own way. You loved us enough to not force us to accept your love or your truth, but that does not change your love or your truth. And so you continue to reach out to us and to offer us new life in line with the truth of your love and your grace. You invite us to follow. Lord, following you will always bring us to newness and to change. So give us the courage to not only acknowledge with our lips that you are Lord, but steady our hearts, fix our eyes on you, that we would know your care, in trust in the ways that you are leading us. Jesus, in the midst of change, let us not put our eyes and set our nerves on that which moves, which can be broken, which may bring us high one day and low the next. Let us not fix ourselves on any of those things. But let us anchor our hearts to the Holy Spirit, who doesn't keep us in one place, but will move us if we would trust and follow. That not only in eternity, but on this day, in the day to come, Jesus is Lord will be proclaimed from our lives and from this church by the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit, in the love of God our Father, we pray. Amen.